Hello, hello. This is JT and welcome to my podcast, It's Just a Belief. Today, I'm starting this with a quote. Knowing oneself comes from attending with compassionate curiosity to what is happening within. This is from Dr. Gabor Maté, and I'm going to say it again. Knowing oneself comes from attending with compassionate curiosity to what is happening within. This is what we're going to talk about today. Today, I'm going to walk you through one layer of my proverbial onion. Actually, someone called me up unexpectedly, being very unhappy about a behavior of mine. And that could have created a whole chaos inside of me, but it created a fantastic opportunity. And I want to share that opportunity with you because years ago, I would still be caught in my shame and in my anger. But doing all the work that I have done and I still have to do, I understand that this came as a fantastic learning opportunity for me. Before we deep dive into that very vulnerable experience, I invite you to sign up to my website, hypnocoach.ca, and get the latest invitation to events and my newsletter weekly.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
Okay, I'm going to be very vulnerable here because I'm going to share something about myself that I'm not so proud of. I'm not sure yet how it's going to come out as I have not scripted that episode. I don't script my episode. I'm a free writer. I'm a very spontaneous person. And I like to do my podcast the same way in a very spontaneous manner. So one day, not so long ago, somebody gave me a call being very unhappy about something that I had done. I'm not disputing how this person felt about it because that's her truth. This is how she felt about what I did. And I respect that 100%. Now, the ball was thrown at me, or the mirror was thrown at me or shown to me. And there was many possible answer to that, right? First, I must say it did activate a bit of shame. And I was surprised because I thought I really had cleared all the shame in me. I thought I had done all the work to let go of any kind of residual shame I had, but that made me realize that there was still a bit of hint of shame in me. But that didn't last long, split seconds. But it was for me a red flag. It was okay. Jenny-Lynn, you might want to still explore shame in you and see how you can wash it out, work it out, understand it better. And then a bit of anger. Anger also, I was a very angry person. I never really showed it because I was a people pleaser and because I was fawning a lot, which was my stress response, right? So, but I was very angry inside. And that episode let me being very little angry. There was a bit of anger again that showed up. And that was a kind of a little red flag saying, okay, there's some anger left inside of you. Do you want to explore it or do you want to live with it as it is? You know, it's always the choice, right? That bit of shame and that bit of anger, I can sit with it and say, okay, I'm going to travel the rest of my life with it because it's bearable, because it shows up only once in a while. And I don't want to put the efforts into deep diving into it and letting go. I don't see the benefits. Or I could say, well, I want to explore this and see, you know. So I kind of step back and walk away from the situation, which is always my default setting. So my default setting when I get triggered by something is to run away, is to step out. That's my avoidance strategy. I mentioned to you, I have pattern of anxiety, which I have worked on. But when I'm triggered, sometimes anxiety shows up. And one of the ways for me to react to anxiety is to avoid. Avoidance strategy is a big one. You know, again, I think people who do the work that I do have work to do on themselves. And if we don't do the work, well, we can't help our clients push further their own experience. This is my belief. It's not everybody's belief. Some people believe you don't have to have lived it yourself to be able to help someone. To a certain extent, I think it's true. But I think that the idea of pushing yourself through helps you push your client through as well. It's a journey, much more than the topic itself, whether it's shame, anger, jealousy, whatever it is, right? It's not really the label that's important. It's the process and the journey. So I sat back into my chair and I started to ask myself questions. How does that make me feel to act this way? Like, what could be? And I closed my eyes like I often do and go within. I had that compassionate curiosity, just like Gabor Mate says it beautifully. I love Gabor Mate, by the way. Like, I talk about him a lot because I think he's known, he's really well known, but I think his work is so powerful and not as widely spread as it could be. So I had that compassionate curiosity about my own experience, saying, okay, Jenny-Lynn, this just happened for you. I don't see anymore it happens to me. You created that situation by your behavior. It was thrown at you. The mirror was shown to you. Now, what are you doing in front of this mirror? What do you see? So I closed my eyes and I saw, okay, I could find a thousand good reasons why I did this. I could have all the justification and rationalization of the world. So many things happened in my childhood that have led me to behave like that. So many ways I was trained to act like that. That behavior has kept me alive so much. It has helped me survive when I was a child. But as an adult, it's no longer necessary. And it's even the opposite. As an adult, it creates situations that I don't need. Not only situations, but it doesn't solve what I'm trying to solve. I'm a very intuitive person. And that's the base of this, all this. Like, I'm utterly out of this world intuitive. I know things. And that I can explain that. I'm working with a coach on this to be able to master this a lot more and understand when it is intuition-based and when it is fear-based. So my curiosity, I'm an extremely curious person as well. I want to know. I want to know. And because I want to know, I'm intuitive and curious. When an idea pops up in my mind, I want to find, I want to know, I want to understand. So I go, I dig, I search until I find evidence of what I'm looking for. And sometimes I'm wrong. So let me back up. What I realized when my eyes were closed is that this behavior, intuition, curiosity, is a strength of mine, and it serves me in many situations, but it disserves me when it's fear-based. So whenever I engage into too much curiosity or too much fear-based curiosity, then it becomes unhealthy for me and unhealthy for people around me. So now I need to ask myself, how do I want to show up in this world? Like, what do I want people to know about me? How do I want to use my intuition to be of service to me and to others instead of the opposite, instead of feeding a fear? And feeding the fear, we know, only does one thing: it increases the fear. So the more I have that fear-based curiosity, the more I feed that fear. And the more that fear becomes real, and the more I find evidence that I am right. You know, in science, they say there are two approaches. Either you have a statement, and then you find evidence that prove your statement. And this is how most of the research in science gets funded. Or you search and you find something, right? I'm in the first family, so I have an intuition, and then I do have that curiosity. Now I need to have the word compassionate. I need to have compassionate curiosity instead of just curiosity. And I need to leverage my intuition to be of service to my clients and myself and the world, and not to feed and grow my fear. Because when I'm in a fear-based behavior, it's not good for me and it's not good for people around me. There's a lot to be said about how you can leverage somebody showing up with a mirror. No matter the side of the story of that person, like, it's not important to me. Is the person right? Is the person wrong? How is this person triggered? What is the reality of that person? It belongs to that person, and I respect that. But the reality is, this person came, called me, and gave me a mirror and said, this is what you're doing, and it's annoying. And I had to look at him in the mirror and say, okay, do I take the mirror and break it? Do I take the mirror and start looking at it and being a little bit like Alice in the Hourglass? Like, am I starting to look at it and see, okay, what am I really seeing in this mirror? Or am I just ignoring it and say, hell with it? Sometimes I do. I will get angry at the person and showing me a mirror, and I will have a reaction, a strong reaction. Sometimes I will ignore the person. But this time around, I decided that I would look into it. And I'm so happy I did. Because I know now that I can decide. There's birds, right? Yeah, I'm hearing birds. I can decide. That's the beauty of being in a country. I am having the door open because it's going to be 30 degrees today. So, but I really wanted to record this episode because I'm very grateful this person came and got angry and showed me that mirror. I'm very thankful the person did, had the nerve to do it. And then what I do with it, it belongs to me, right? Now I'm sharing this because this is the work that I do, try to improve myself, to peel my onions, to feel better about myself, to share my gift in a healthy way, to be able to have the base of all this, which is my intuition, which is to be of service and not of disservice, and not being feared based, but being loved based, if you want, compassionate based. So voila, my decision, and I saw it, okay, I saw it just like when I stopped drinking. You know, when I stopped drinking, and it's very funny because I'm giving a trigger here. I'm giving a trigger word for me, which is the word brain. And 4 years ago when I stopped drinking, my friend said, you know, wine is getting to your brain. It's no longer fun. That was the word. And this person, when she was mad at me, she used the word brain too. And that was also a good wake up for me again and say, okay, maybe I need to look into it a little bit more and see what's really behind that for me. The person can have the interpretation she wants. That belongs to her. She can think I'm crazy. She can think I'm unhealthy. She can think I'm this, I'm that. That's fine. It belongs to the person. I have no say about what the person, I have no power what the person thinks about me and her own appreciation, her own experience. But I have a responsibility towards me, right? And towards how I behave and towards how I use the gifts that I have. Intuition is one of my gifts. Intuition has helped me survive. Intuition has helped me take very sound decisions. But sometimes when it's fear-based, it doesn't serve me. And now my work is to be able to know myself enough, just like Gabor Maté says, you know, knowing oneself comes from attending with compassionate curiosity to what is happening within. So if I'm being compassionate and curious towards my own behavior, I will say, okay, you have to be attentive. When it's fear-based, just go and dig into that fear. What is the fear about? And we know that 95% of our fears don't materialize, right? What is the fear about? Oh, does that serve you to be fearful about that? Is this true? If you would change your belief, if you would change your thoughts about this fear, what would you choose? What consequences would there be in your life, right? You know those questions. I think I've already, okay, I'm going to mention them again. They're very important questions. If you have a piece of paper and a pen or something to take notes, or you just want to record it, the first question is whether it's a fear or it's a, you know, how do I know this is entirely true? So my fear that was leading me to that behavior, right? How do I know that this is totally true? And then the second question is, how do I know that this could be false? Could this be false? And if it would be false, what it would be, right? Then the third question is, what is the best possible outcome? And then what is the worst possible outcome? Then is what's most likely to happen if I don't change this fear, this thought that is at the root of the fear? What thought can I change this thought for? So I have a healthy thought instead of a fearful thought. And then the last one is, you know, if I have a friend that would come to me with this fear, with this thought, what would I say to my friend? Those questions are so helpful. I use them all the time with my anxious clients. I ask them with their conscious mind. I ask them under hypnosis with their subconscious mind. And it's very, very, very helpful. It diminishes a lot of the anxiety because you really, really see what is happening and all the opportunities that you have to change an anxious thought or a fear for a healthy thought. So voila, I hope that this helps you understand that things really, if you want to choose to believe that things happen for you, they happen for you. If you want to think that it happens to you, then they happen to you, but it's your choice. And even, I think I'm going to talk about that. Yeah. So with my coach, I know I was going to end the episode, right? And then this other thing came. I'm sorry for those very, very structured people that are listening to my podcast because I am structured, but then when I do my podcast, I love the spontaneous way and then ideas pops in and I want to make sure I'm able to share them. So with my coach lately, we've been playing with the idea of illusion. Some people believe that everything in life is an illusion. It's something you create. Again, it's a belief, right? And because I'm in the world of belief, I ought to explore that idea and see how it feels. So if everything is an illusion and all the people that are out there in my life, I have created for a purpose, then I have created this person who holds up the mirror for me for a purpose, for me to understand something, to help me peel my onion, to help me move forward and understand things about me, about life, and being able to be of service to my clients in a much more profound way. So I'm playing with that idea. I'm not saying I'm subscribing to it. I'm not saying that I believe in it. But because my work is all about beliefs, I need to be able to play with this concept and say, okay, if today I would play and I would say that everybody that shows up today in my life, today, for that next 24 hours, are people that I have created. I ask them to be there. They're just an illusion and they're out there to teach me something. I can tell you my life experience, my human experience would be very different. It's a very out there concepts. I'm not ready to adopt this, but I'm ready to use it and leverage it when it helps me break through or when it helps me understand things that I can't make sense of. So voila, I'm just saying a last thank you to this person. I'm very grateful this person held up the mirror for me, because sometimes that's all you need to break through your next step, to take your next layer of onions off. And sometimes, you know, it's all good, even though it's painful, like a teat, you know, an extraction, even though it's painful, sometimes it ends up for something very good that happens for you and not to you. Voila, this is JT, this is the end this time. And until next time, you know, like me, this is just a belief.